Thank the Lord this morning for each one that's here. Thankful for the blessings of the Lord. Written on the board, provision of the Lord, and that's the burden the Lord had put on my heart to share with you all this morning. I'd like to begin with an account out of the sixth chapter of 2 Kings. 2 Kings, the sixth chapter. We're going to begin reading with verse 24. It said, "And it came to pass after this, that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria." I want to first give consideration to the fact that Samaria was besieged by the king of Syria. The king came with his army, came with his forces, and they encamped around about the cities. They enclosed it in, so the city, they were not able to go out, and there was no commerce. The wagons couldn't come in, and the wagons couldn't go out. And so after a certain amount of time, they grew short of supplies. It would be if you were homebound, say for example, say there were some people with guns outside your house, and would not let you out and would not let anybody in. How long would you survive? Now, I don't know how much food you have laid up in store, and you couldn't go pick any corn either. You couldn't get out to where the fields were outside the city gates. So all the things that you had laid up in store, you couldn't get to it. I know some of us would probably last a while. Our freezer has been fairly full, thanks to some of you all, and I think we'd be good for a couple weeks still. I think. But after that, things might start getting a little bit lean. And that was the fact what happened there in Samaria. The king of Syria had encamped around about him. They couldn't get out and people couldn't come in. And so after they used their provisions, anything they had was precious. And in famine conditions, what happens to the price of goods? They go up. Because scarcity, it's a law of supply and demand, basic economic principle. When something is scarce and it's in high demand, the cost goes up. When you have a lot of something and there's not a lot of demand, the price goes down. Well, that was the condition here in Samaria. So let's read on. "And it came to pass after this, that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his hosts, went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it. Until an ass's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver, and the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver." I want to stop there for a moment. What he's telling us here was he was giving us showing us the horrific conditions that were in Samaria. Now, an ass or a donkey is what he was talking about. Just the head of the donkey was valued at what? 80 pieces of silver. 80 pieces of silver. And a donkey was an unclean animal. Okay? He was considered unclean, but they were so hungry, they were willing to eat things that they normally would not eat. And so just the head of a donkey, 80 pieces. Think about how much the ribs would have been. You know, think about how much what other parts of meat you get off of a donkey. I've never eaten donkey. I don't know if anybody here has, but if the head is worth 80 pieces of silver, consider how valuable the rest of that donkey was. And I've been in places in Africa, when you take a cow or a goat and you slaughter it, you butcher it, you don't let anything go to waste. And I mean nothing. All right? You don't let anything go to waste. You eat the whole entire animal from head to toe. I'd have to be pretty hungry to do that, and I've been served some things that I had to trust that God would sanctify it before I put in my mouth. And for some reason, I take a few bites, and I was satisfied. I didn't eat any more. But I'll tell you what, when you get hungry enough, it's amazing what you'll do. Now, he talked about dove's dung. How many of y'all have eaten that? Now, I'm going to say this, all right? Now, it said here a cab of dove's dung sold for 5 pieces of silver. That was about a quart's worth, All right? And I will acknowledge this. It may not be as bad as it sounds. They said they were chickpeas. Some of the historians and commentators said that dove's dung, that's what it looked like. But it might have been chickpeas. But they also said, as you well know, in famine, it has been known in certain areas to eat excrement, both animal and human, under certain circumstances because they got so hungry. Now that may not, doesn't sound real appetizing, does it? And lunch will be served after service. But I want us to understand something. It doesn't sound appetizing, but when you're hungry enough, it's amazing what you will eat. In Malawi, the young man that translates for me, he eats mice about half of the time because they don't have anything else. So they go out in the field and they set fires and smoke the field mice out. And along the road, you can see skewers of field mice. They're not gutted or anything. They eat the whole thing. They stick the mouse on a skewer and stick it over the fire. There's still hair on it and it singed. The guts are still in it and everything else. And you eat it. Because when you're hungry enough, that's what you do. I can get to a point. 5 pieces of silver for a quart of dove dung or chickpeas. I wasn't there. I don't know. Let's read on. And the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall there, and there cried a woman unto him, "Help my lord, O king." And he said, "If the Lord do not help thee, when shall I help thee?" Understand, he came by and there's a woman in distress. There's a famine. We're besieged. People can't come in. Food can't come in. And we can't escape the famine. And he found the king himself said, "Don't ask me for help. I can't help you. I don't have the ability. I don't have the provision. I don't have the resource to help you." Folks, have you ever had needs in your life and you asked someone to help you and it just seemed like you couldn't get the help that you needed? Have you ever preacher shocked? There are people that preacher shock. And there are people that church shop. They go from one church to another, and they go from one preacher to another, in one group to another, and they're never satisfied. I want to tell you something this morning. Our help comes from God who made heaven and earth. People can only go so far for us, folks. But there are things that God, I put provision of the Lord, there are things that God can help you with that nobody else can help you with. He came, the woman was crying, and the king said, "Why are you asking me for help?" He said, "I don't have the ability." Folks, man can't solve our spiritual problems. You know that? Do you know what I can do as a minister of the gospel? Do you know what my job is? It's to point you and anybody else, it's to point you to the one that can help you. Because I don't have any grace to give to you. I can't work a miracle in your life, but I can point you to one that has laid up in store everything that we need spiritually to get us through victoriously. And so the king said, "Why are you looking at me? Why are you asking me if it's God that's going to have to be your help?" Want us to get in mind the horrific conditions that this place was in. And I'm really don't want to be too graphic, but folks, I think we'll get the point as we read on. "What aileth thee?" And she said, "This woman said unto me," it was a neighbor woman. She said, "Give thy son that we may eat him today. And we will eat my son tomorrow." So we boiled my son and ate him. And I said unto her on the next day, "Give me thy son that we may eat him." And she hath hid her son. In other words, there's an injustice has been done because we were so hungry. Folks, do you understand the condition that someone would have to be in to do what these women did? I'm so hungry to eat part of my own flesh and blood. Cannibalism. Folks, it's horrific, is it not? I don't know. I would rather die than do what these women did. I would rather die. But they were in a place that probably their minds, they weren't thinking straight. Do you know when you get in certain conditions, you don't think straight because I'm so needy. In the woman, they boiled her son and now she's telling the king about it. Oh, this, it's a great injustice. The woman tricked me and we ate my son, but she won't let me eat her son. Can you fix the problem? Do you recognize that these, I see a lot of similarities in this story, in the situation of our world today. The condition of our world, there is a famine of righteousness. There is a famine of that that people don't know they don't have what they need to have soundness of mind. They don't have what they need to minister to the depth of their spirit. They don't know where to turn. And so what do? They turn to the, as the scripture says, the beggarly elements of the world. Because I'm not happy, I'm not satisfied. And so then I go to the world and I give what is precious to me and I trade it in for something that has no value at all. It's what these women were doing. And we don't need to stay on that point too long. It is gruesome. But I want us to understand the condition that they were in. Folks, I look at the world today and I see similar things happening. People are taking what is precious and good and right. And in their pursuit of finding something to satisfy, they're trading in what's valuable. Folks, sin has a high cost on it. The world never truly will satisfy us. Because recognize this, her son was now dead, wasn't he? But tomorrow she was going to be hungry again. It's what sin does. She should have thought of that, said, I'd rather have my son and die with my son in my arms than to be think I was satisfied today, and tomorrow I'm going to be worse off than I was the day before. Folks, it's what sin is doing to people. They think if I could just have that, it's what it's going to satisfy me for the moment. But they're going to wake up one morning and say, what have I done? I'm worse off than what I was. I thought it was bad before. Folks, sin will get worse. It's going to get worse. But I look at the condition of our world and I see people besieged by the enemy. They're surrounded by the enemy. They don't know how to get out. They don't know what to do. That's why Paul told us in 2 Timothy 3:1, he said, and this know also, that in the last days, what? Perilous times would come. And I mentioned the other day, I've read through that list and I am in amazement. I shudder in my spirit because I see those things being fulfilled all around about me. It's perilous times. Perilous means dangerous. We're living in dangerous times this morning. So what are we going to do about it? The enemy's besieging people. How can we make it this morning? In the kind of world that we live in, what hope is there for our children? I'll tell you, it's almost in a place, I almost don't want children in this world. And I mean that. But I know that there has been some provision that God has made for them if they want to live right. Let's read on. And we're going to skip down because we don't have time to read it all in chapter 7. In verse 3, it says, there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? If we enter into the city, then the famine's in the city and we'll die there. And if we sit here, we're going to die. Now therefore come and let us fall on the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we'll live. And if they kill us, we shall all but die. Understand the horrific conditions. Remember what lepers are. They're unclean. They were considered unclean in the Old Testament. I've been by a leper colony before. And we didn't stop. You don't They don't interact with the lepers. And we drove by in the vehicle, and the street was lined with lepers dressed in rags. And people would throw out a few coins to them as you sped by them. And it was around that area that I drove by, and I looked, and there's a dead man laying on the road. Nobody to stop to take care of him, to bury him. Nobody to see after his family. He was a dead man just laying in the road, and nobody cares, just going on about their business. Folks, that's what sin does. Sin is a leprosy. It's unclean. But these men, they said, you know what? We're in a famine condition, and we're going to die. So we might as well go out and try to fight the Syrians and might as well kill some of the enemy while we're at it. And maybe if they spare our life, if we go into the camp, we'll live. And if we die, we were going to die anyway. You ever heard someone say, well, I'm a sinner, so it doesn't matter? Just commit more and more sin, folks, it'll lead more and more problems. But you remember what happened in this story? These Syrians went on down to the camp. And in verse 5 it said, they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses and the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the king of the Egyptians to come upon us. And so what happened is the Lord had come by that camp of the enemy. And he made a loud noise, and the Syrians thought that they were being beset upon, and so they fled. And they didn't take time to gather up their food. They didn't take time to gather up their gold and silver. They were out of there as fast as they could. You know what the lepers did? Said the lepers in verse 8, they came to the uttermost part of the camp, and they went into one tent. And they ate and they drank, and they carried thence the silver and the gold and the raiment, and they went and they hid it, and they came again and entered into another tent. They found some provisions. We've been starving. And we went out there and we found everything that our heart could desire. Gold and silver and clothes. And they sat down and they ate and they drank until they didn't want any more. And they sat there and looked at each other and they started to feel a little bit guilty. Because there's a woman crying on the walls of the city. She just ate her son. And we're sitting here. There's provision. There's food. There's clothing. And they looked at each other. In verse 9 they said, we do not well. They said, this day is a day of good tidings and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come that we may go and tell the king's household. And the point here is this morning, there are some other wonderful messages that can be preached out of this passage of Scripture. But what I want us to get hold of this morning, they said today is a day of good tidings. I look on the world in which we live and it makes me heart sick. I've gotten sick, literally, because of the things that I'm seeing around about us. But I also want to remind us this morning that this is a day of good tidings. It's a day of good tidings because the Lord has provision for us. When we look on the beggarly elements of the world, there is a way out of that this morning. There is a way out of spiritual famine. There is a way that we can be made free from leprosy. There is a way that I don't have to take and sacrifice my children to this world, but I can at least give them an opportunity through Jesus Christ to come and be satisfied with what the Lord gave to them. Oh, folks, this morning we have reason to be encouraged this morning. I know the battle is great, and I will say the battle is escalating. And I will say, you want to see the battle of Armageddon, we are in it. And I believe time is short this morning. I do not believe that God is going to tarry the coming of Christ much longer. I don't believe it this morning, but I know that to everybody that wants to dine at the Father's table, He has laid up in store everything that we need that we can make it to the end in spiritual victory. This day is a day of good tidings. The word provision, it's the act of providing for, making provision for. an abundant supply. Now I'm going to run through some scriptures pretty quickly here, and we're not going to take the time to read them all. You know your Bibles, I trust. But remember over in John 7 when Jesus stood up at the feast, and He said, if any man thirst, let him come to who? Let him come to Me. If any man's thirsty, if you're hungry, if you're in famine, don't be discouraged. It's a day of good tidings. Jesus said, if you're thirsty, come to Me and drink. And He said, he that believeth on Me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. It's not stagnant. It's not dried up. You say, well, that's an old has-been. No, it's not. That we, out of the wells of salvation is where we're going to draw the water. With joy we'll draw the water from the wells of salvation. Something that's dynamic and vibrant and alive. Oh, folks, the world may be in spiritual famine, but thank God this morning you don't have to be. And if you are, it's your choice. Because Jesus has invited us and said, if you're thirsty, just come and drink. And we turned to the King of Israel and said, oh, help me out. And the king said, I can't do it. I can't give you what you need. But this morning the Lord has laid up in store for you. The Lord has laid up in store for you something that will see you through. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 4, according as His divine power hath given unto us what? Some things? All things. Folks, that's provision of the Lord. He has given unto who? Us. That's talking about me now. That's talking about me. He has given unto Michael Warren Smith all things that pertain unto what? Life and godliness. I may not have money in the bank, and my health may not be good, and I may not, everybody may not like me, but by the grace of God, He has given me everything that I need that pertains to life and godliness. Do you believe that this morning? If you don't, I hope hearing the Word of God will inspire your faith this morning, because it's true. There's provision. He's given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Let me keep reading. Through the knowledge of Him. So what do I need to know? Get to know Jesus Christ. Through Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Now you say, well, I have to live this way because the church teaches it, or because Brother Michael preached it. Oh, no. Oh no, you live this way because the Lord is the one that has called me to glory. The Lord is the one that's called us to virtue, but we don't have to do it by ourselves. He said, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. What's the answer to this, the horrific conditions that are in our world? It's Jesus Christ. There's provision laid up that He's given us promises that when I'm disappointed in myself, and I'm disappointed maybe in you, and I'm disappointed in this, when I'm disappointed in that, and I wish I could have done this different, and if I would have been raised differently, and if I would... Wait a minute. The Lord has some provisions with my name on it. And He's saying, Michael, you can make it because I've called you. Do you realize that each and every one of us today have been called by the Lord? We've been chosen and we can make it. Because the Lord knew that the journey was going to be tough. The Lord knew that there was going to be some tough things we were going to face. And He laid up in store for us everything that we needed that we could make it spiritually. That we can make it with victory. Who shall separate us from the love of God? You have an answer to that? Who? Shall tribulation, shall distress, shall persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? Shall any of these things separate us from the love of God? No, the provision of God's love. Have you felt that? Have you felt the Lord in times of desperation? Have you felt the Lord come around and put His arms around you? I have. And there are times like, Lord, I need a hug. You know, there's something a hug can do that nothing else. You can shake someone's hand and you can say, I'm praying for you. And you can, from a distance, give them a phone call. But I'll tell you, there are some times that there's nothing like someone just coming around and putting their arms around you and squeezing you tight, letting you know they love you. They don't even have to say anything. Folks, the Lord has some hugs laid up in store for you. And if you need to know His love, He's provided for it. He loves you and He cares for you. You can make it. He's provided for our freedom this morning. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed, without question, because Jesus did it. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I'm going to read some of the Word to you now. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who what? Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, and who healeth all thy diseases. You want to talk about the provision of the Lord? Is not this a day of good tidings? Is not this should encourage us in our own life and with our lost loved ones to know that if they'll just but turn away from the spiritual famine that's out there, there's a table that is spread this morning with all of the love and the graces of God that will enable them to make it through with victory. Come unto me, Jesus said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'll give you quietness. Yes, that applies to the sinner, but it applies to me too. When I get tired and when I get worn out, when I get burdened down with the cares of life, Lord says, I've got some rest laid up for you. Come on. I am so thankful for the provision of the Lord this morning. Let us therefore come boldly. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly to what? The throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. And every time I bring this out, I probably say it. Mercy came before God's help. In other words, I didn't deserve His grace. I didn't deserve His help. So He said, just come boldly or come with assurance and I'm going to have mercy on you. And then I'm going to give you help. I'm going to give you the grace to help you in time of what? In time of need. When I don't have it in store, when I don't have it myself, there is a provision of grace. Folks, there's a storehouse of grace for you. Have you ever had someone push your buttons? You know what I'm talking about? Someone said, I got your number. They know how to push your buttons. There's a storehouse of grace for you. It's not biting your lip saying, I won't say anything. There's too many bloody lip Christians walking around. There's a storehouse of grace for you and it works from the inside out. See, grace isn't about willpower. Grace isn't about what I've done. Grace is about my poverty. That, Lord, I have a problem and I have a need and I need some help, Lord. There's provision for that. Amazing grace. Amazing grace. Oh, I will say how sweet the sound. It's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Jesus said, John 14, peace I leave with you. Peace, my peace I give unto you. This is the provision of the Lord this morning. He's got a provision of peace for us, and it's not like the world gives. He said, not as the world giveth I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. What did David say in Psalms 23 about that table? Thou preparest what? A table before me, where? In the presence of mine enemies. Can that work for us? Right in the middle of my enemies. You know what happens when you get in the middle of your enemies? I'll tell you what I want to do. I mean, you may want to kill them. I understand I'm talking about spiritually. I'm not talking about literally. In your enemies, you want to vanquish your enemies. But you know what we want to do in the middle of your enemies? You want to get out. Get me away. And David said, I found, in essence, I found a provision that God enabled me to stay right in the middle of people that weren't treating me right. And He prepared a table for me. Have some more joy. You need some more long-suffering yourself. You need a little bit more gentleness here. Maybe you need some more understanding. You need a little more understanding. Here's some more grace. Here's some more love for your enemies. Because that's where we grow. That's where we prosper. Provision in the middle of my enemies. And so Paul said, Philippians 4:13, what does it say? I can do what? Okay. Y'all want to tell what your problem is this morning? You say, I don't have it. Yes, you do. You're too proud. If you don't have any problems, you're too proud, because we all have areas the Lord wants to work in our life. But the joy of it is that He's made provision for it. He's made provision for my weakness. He's made provision for your weakness. And so then when I look at that and I say, Lord, I want to make it all the way. I want to have victory in my life. The Lord's saying, I made provision. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. There's no stopping place. You just open up the Bible and just keep reading. Ah, provision. He's provided something to enable me to go all the way. And when I look on the world this morning, I will confess, I feel like looking on a besieged Samaria where people are doing horrific things. But there's provision. Take your leprosy and take it to Christ. And you will find there's food, there's drink, there's love, there's peace, there's victory right in the middle of this wicked, evil world. Folks, you can make it this morning because you've been provided for. So I would say, what do we need this morning? Like the song says, where could I go but to the Lord? Neighbors are kind. I love them, everyone. Love my family. I love God's people. But it's God. It's the Lord that has provided. Thank you for your attention. God bless you.